Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Nerd off, nerd off, nerd off.
Jumbo, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Off. There's 12 of these now. This is our premium podcast for the blackout tips, people that, you know, pay. But today on Spreecast, we're giving this shit away free. Because we're such generous, kind, warm-hearted people. And because one of my plugins fucked up. But the good news is you get this shit for free if you listen to it on Spreecast Live, or you can go check the replay and you go, you know, what am I missing? What, you know, how they talk about so much shit on the regular show. How could they possibly have other shit to talk about that's nerd shit that they're not covering? Well, you're about to find out, man. And of course, I'm never alone. I got a bunch of other people here that are nerdy to various degrees. I have the undercover nerd, which is Karen. What's going on?
How you doing? How y'all doing out there in the nerd land?
First time you didn't fight it. Thank goodness. We also have my man Chris from the Insanity Check podcast. What's going on, Chris?
What's going on, man?
Chilling my nerd. Or N-word, as we like to say, you know. It's a hurtful N-word. Term. Taking it back. And we also got my man H2O Kevin in Sandy Check Podcast. What's going on, my nerd?
I'm back in black, man. I'm back in, well, black and light skin, so.
Back in light. Well, it's good to have y'all back, man.
Always. It's always a pleasure, man.
I always feel like this time of year for nerd shit is like it's almost the same as the NFL, where nothing's really happening, but just ratchet. It's like shit we can talk about in a ratchet way, but in general, this is a slow time because Comic-Con is done. Most video games are waiting until the fall to really drop the bigger, you know, sequels and bigger titles. And we're kind of stuck in a lull where probably the next biggest thing that's coming out is like maybe what?
Actually, the next Madden? Biggest thing might be, I don't count Madden as like a big, like, as far as a nerd video game release. That's just yearly bullshit. But I think the next big one would be GTA 4, which is September 17th.
Yeah, so till September 17th.
I don't know if anything like crucially is coming out in August.
Right.
But Saints Row is no Wound God. But GTA 5, man, like GTA 5 is like that next big one.
And that's 6 weeks away. Right. So, and then when you think about movies, most of the time your bigger budget summer blockbuster type movies have come out already. So like we're probably about to hit a lull here, which, you know, I think for most people, they would go, oh no, we're not going to have anything to talk about. Where for me, I go, cool. Now we can talk about all this other shit.
Not only that, but it's like, what's happening with football right now, where you don't have football. So the players are acting up. And you're getting all these stupid ass shit. It's the same thing that happens with nerd news. Mm-hmm. Like after Comic-Con, like any rumor that comes out, everybody just assumes is the god honest truth. You know, like, you know, Josh Whedon comes out of a studio like holding an Ant-Man comic, and everybody's like, oh my God, Ant-Man is going to be in Avengers 2. It's like, it's just that kind of bullshit. You know, it's bad.
Yeah, it really has.
Give us anything.
Point. Yeah, like they actually, I didn't even put this on the docket, but they talked to the director of Amazing Spider-Man 2 and they asked him would any other superheroes be in it. And he was like, that would be nice to have like the continuity, like kind of confirmed. It makes like everybody feel like this universe is bigger than just Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's like, but that's also exactly a spoiler. So why would I answer that question?
Right.
Like, why would, like, you know, shit like that where you're like, that, yeah, that's kind of a dumb question to answer. Cause, if it was going to be like, oh shit, Johnny Storm is in this, all of a sudden now I'm not surprised cause some idiot asked that question and he was like, yeah, the Fantastic Four are in it, you know?
And not only that, so he answered that question that way. And then a whole bunch of other sites made a whole, well, he opened the door. No, he didn't. He was just answering the question the best way you can in case the future someday maybe does happen. It's like they made it seem like it was almost guaranteed to happen. I'm like, this is why we need real news now, because people are just going with every fucking rumor they can at this point. So, yeah.
So first things first, let's talk about what we always start the show with. what has everybody been playing? What nerd shit are y'all into at the moment? Karen.
Well, this week I've been working like a slave doing overtime, so I have not played video games, but I have been on my Xbox and I got to watch, what was it? The Flashpoint Paradox,
just the Justice League movie.
Yes. Which was very, very good. And it's one of those things where it inspires me, or at least gives me a glimmer of hope or light that they can make a good Flash movie. If they do it similar to this manner, because it was done really, really, really well.
Well, they're trying to make a Flash TV series, I'm pretty sure of.
Yeah.
But I don't know about
that. There's supposed to be a movie, too. There's supposed to be a movie and a TV show.
That seems like a weird idea, because if the Flash is going to be in it on a movie scale, you're probably looking at like a couple $100 million of budget or something, or a hundred and something million. And then TV shows are scaled way, way down. So I wonder if it would dilute the brand to try to turn that from a, you know, big budget movie to, you know, a WB or CW, you know, TV show.
Well, one of the guys from the Apocalypse, Jay, he actually wrote an article about that saying the same thing. It's like the way Marvel is doing with their S.H.I.E.L.D. show is how CW should do it. You can do a CW show for Arrow, because he's not a superhero. It doesn't take a lot of budget for a guy to shoot arrows.
Right.
Uh-huh. You know, but when you got a guy like The Flash, you're going to have to spend some money on them effects, because nobody wants to see The Flash is doing regular Barry Allen shit, yo. Mm-hmm. That's not what you're gonna find.
And honestly, nobody cares about the Green Arrow. Not, and I don't mean that in a bad way, because y'all know I love the fucking show. Right. But like, it was a show where like, if they fucked it up, it's not like fucking up Flash or Wonder Woman or Green Lantern, like where it's like, oh, how are we gonna insert this back into the movie? And also, like, what actor are they gonna get to sign up for this and then turn into like TV? Because a lot of movie actors don't like the idea of like doing serial TV, because they get typecast.
Can't even do that type of acting in general. I mean, they're they're not prone to it or used.
Well,
to
and
it.
They weren't. That's the other thing that makes it stupid. They were only gonna do they're gonna do two separate ones. So they're gonna be two separate versions. They're gonna be the TV version and the movie version. That aren't really continuous, but they still kind of follow the same kind of rules of you. I mean, like I said, if it's good, I'll watch it, but I think they're biting off more than they can chew for the CW.
Yeah, it's pretty ambitious, but yeah, I enjoyed Justice League Flashpoint, by the way.
It was great.
It kind of had a real Injustice feel to it.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it yet.
I'm not going to put any spoilers for you.
Thank you, sir.
But I'll just say it had a real Injustice feel, whereas like everybody, it's an alternate universe, so everybody's able to do a bunch of other stuff and fight each other. And it's almost like how sometimes they do these spinoff like What If comic books. And now you can do whatever you want to with a character. So if I want to make Wolverine kill Storm, I can do it in this comic book because it doesn't really count.
Right.
So there's a whole lot of shit that don't count in this joint.
Yeah.
And it worked on a visceral level for me. It's like, oh shit, is that a gun that Batman has? You know, shit like that. Where you're like, I can't believe he did that.
Go ahead, Karen. And I think for me, and for me personally, I love anime. I'm a huge fan of anime, and it had that anime feel.
Yeah.
It had that, because animes have a tendency to be more violent. They have a tendency to cross lines. They have a tendency to take cartoons and put cartoons more in adult content, which a lot of American made cartoons, because here in America, our cartoons, we like aim it towards children. Mm-hmm. Like children don't have higher thinking, but we aim everything towards children and water shit down.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the fact that it was violent. I enjoyed the fact that people died. I enjoyed the fact that they didn't hold back on the action scenes and the fight scenes and things like that. And I enjoyed that they took it seriously, which I think a lot of American people who make American cartoons don't take cartoons seriously, so we don't get high-quality cartoons.
Yeah, I think there's two things I really like that DC does. One's a violence, but two, they cater these cartoons, if you will, to adults, even though it's a PG-13 film.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had like a under 13-year-old. Well, I don't think I would let them watch this shit, because it actually is super violent, and I like that. It's basically an adult cartoon. Mm-hmm. The one problem I'm starting to have with these DC, and it's really a nitpick to me, they're so good. things like the Flashpoint Paradox makes me mad when they're only 81 minutes. Like, I felt like they could have broken this out into at least a 2 or 3 parter, like they did with the Dark Knight Returns. Because then, like, they create, and it's just like the comic, because it's such a huge comic book arc. I mean, this is a huge arc for DC. And they did a really great job of condensing it down into 81 minutes. But it gets to the point where some of these characters, like the whole issue of Batman, like that could have been an 81-minute film on its own.
Yes. Like, you know, that was one of the things I was saying this morning, is that it felt like there was such rich backstory to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to explore everybody, you know, like. Right.
Yeah.
Not just the Batman, but the entire twist of the tragedy that happens with them.
Oh, yeah.
It leads you to a place where the first thing you think is like, where is the Joker?
Right. Right.
You know, and they never, they never go back to it because they just don't have the time, you know?
Yeah. I would have loved that. And I see, Wungot was talking about, I was talking about American Made cartoons, and he was talking about, what was The Last Airbender, you know, Korra, The Last Airbender. But what people fail to realize about that, that is the best American Made cartoon I've seen, but it's American Made this anime, which is completely different than a standard American Made cartoon. It's not, to me, it's not the same. Americans made it, but it's more form of an anime.
Yeah, not only that, I kind of wish that, I know we're a little off topic here, but I kind of wish DC would just bite the bullet and do a full-length, full-feature film. Like, it can be straight to DVD. Make it 2 hours. Make it 2.5. I will watch that. I mean, at no point when I'm watching, like, when I'm starting to watch DC animated films, and they're so good, it gets to the point where I'm like, fuck, I only got 10 minutes left in this film.
Yeah.
You know? And I really wish, I mean, they're going to sell. People love this shit. They're like, I don't know if you guys watched some of the extras. And this Justice League War that they're going to be doing, but I saw that shit, I'm like, you know what? That's just going to be awesome. But if it's 80 minutes, they're going to be cutting it too short. Like, it should be at least an hour and a half.
Well, you know, I'll say this. I'm sure the budget and stuff is crazy, but like, I like the feeling. I know what they're going for is that was short, and I want more.
Right.
They want us to keep having that crackhead feeling about it, and I'm telling you guys, if you're enjoying these movies, everybody I know loves the DC movies, go watch Young Justice. I'm telling you guys.
Young Justice is excellent.
I would not lead you wrong. It was 2 seasons long. It's more than enough. Like, you will be like, holy shit. Like, you're going to be kind of sad when it ends because it's that good. But go watch Young Justice, man. You will thank me later, because if you're not watching Young Justice, but you have enjoyed every DC movie, you're doing yourself a disservice, because there's like another, I don't know, 8 to 10 hours of content out there that's going to make you be like, oh my God, this is so good. So do it, guys.
Yes. And that, and also when y'all talking about expanding the storylines, I would have loved to go into the alternate Batman. I would love to find out what made him turn. How did he get to that point?
That's what I was saying, was like, you know, there's a lot. I don't want to ruin it. There's a lot, man.
Right, there's a lot going on with that.
And I don't want to spoil it for Kev.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry, Kev.
Yeah. No, it's cool. He does not spoil that. All right, man. So, what have you been playing, Chris?
Still playing Skyrim. Getting into that, and then this morning I went back into playing Borderlands 2. I didn't play the new DLC that came out yet, so I still got to do that. But I was playing Borderlands 2 today, and I was like, man, I really love this fucking game. Like, I'm playing back a mission that I've, the Firehawk mission that I played like 1,000 times already, and I'm still fucking loving it, man. Like, props to Kev for telling me to get this game when I did, man. And
you're welcome. It's great.
Yeah, man. Love Borderlands 2.
Yeah, Borderlands 2. I actually hopped on with Wound God and I think his wife and some other girl. And
I did that too before.
Yeah, first of all, that is a crazy party to join.
Yeah, it is.
Because they be talking.
It's a lot of fun, too. But.
It is fun, but they be talking crazy. And I didn't know nobody in there except the Wolf Guy.
That was your problem. Like,
and I ain't feel comfortable.
Like 2-3 hours, like one day. And I just went along with it. I was like, fuck it. They all sound black.
So. I didn't feel comfortable, like, insulting them because they were pretty good.
I knew one of them was Wound God's wife because I've played with her before. And the other one, I was just like, well, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I'm very careful about insulting people's wives too. So like, it's like when I hopped on, Womb Guy was like in the middle, like, "No, bitch, you got to fucking do that shit, nigga." I was like, "Well,
this what's going on in here?"
Yeah, good morning, ladies. It's like, and this so and so's birthday. I was like, "Happy birthday." I'm just gonna hop off, take my shower. Thanks, guys. I don't want to cause no problem, but I had a good time with them. Only thing with Borderlands is like my siren is like a level 43, and I still am trying to join up with people's party so I can level up, but everybody's so far ahead of me now that I'm just hopping in and dying, like, you know,
instantly.
I might as well just be Mario, like, hopping honestly, into a ninja gating game.
If, like, if you want to get through some missions and shit, I'll just bring like one of my higher level characters in here to help you out.
Okay, all right, I'll hit y'all up, man. Because, like, whenever I top on, I feel like if Mario jumped into a Ninja Gaiden game, it's like I'm just hopping around, like, doing, doing, and then somebody comes through and slices my head off. I'm like, yeah, I gotta step my game up. So I've been playing a lot by myself to just, level up a little bit. But yeah, I'm gonna definitely get back into playing that out because I've been playing so many other games. Also, Skyrim sounds really... It's like, Chris jumped right into the Skyrim, like, stereotype, cause he is, I think I don't remember the last time we did the show when you weren't like, been playing a lot of Skyrim.
Play
a little bit of Walking Dead.
The game, and so you always fucking play it. And so I'm just, like, every time I think, like, every time I come on here, I don't even, it's not even that I have less missions in my queue, I actually have more, and I haven't tried. So I beat three missions, and three, four more. People come up to me now. I'm like, no, I don't want to help you. Stop doing this.
Your daughter's going to die.
You know what I've been dealing with for the last two and a half years when that game came out. That's all. Yeah, and I still haven't finished half that shit.
That's crazy. So, yeah, Chris hit level 30 in 2 weeks. Yeah, no, because it's just like, yeah, it's a lot, man.
That's awesome.
It's fun, though. It's a great game. I needed a game when I got it. I needed a game to kind of fill the gap until we get something like GTA. And yeah, this game is doing it, so I was like, "Yeah, I'm in it." It's addictive as hell, though. Like, yeah, and as you get more powerful with your character, yeah, and you find more stuff, it's like, yeah, yeah, it's a problem.
Especially when you find the dragon shouts. Like every time you find a new like dragon shout word, I always feel like I accomplished something big.
Oh yeah,
like it's a great feeling. So
yeah, it's definitely something I got to get into, man, because you know, it sounds fun and it sounds like, you know, there's a lot to do.
It is, I think, for me, because like I said, I just started. I know I haven't really been playing this week, but as soon as I get a chance, I'm gonna get on it. Shout out to you, Chris. You showed me how to get out of that first person view mode, because that shit was fucking me up. I was like, hey, I want to see my man move around. Just, no.
What about you, Kev? What you been playing, man?
Actually, I got three games. I'll try to run through them real quick.
Mm-hmm.
First one is Xbox Live. It's actually only 80 points. It's one of the indie games, but I played a quick demo of it. By far, this game, it's only two buttons. It's called One Finger Death Punch. You just use the X and B buttons, and you have stick figure ninjas coming at your character who uses one of five different kung fu styles, and he's also a stick figure. And when they come within range, you just got to press the X button, hit the person on the left, B button, hit the person on the right, and the difficulty changes because they'll come out faster. You have certain people that'll be like, you got to hit them on both sides. Like, he'll come out on like the right side, he'll switch to the other side, and you got to keep doing that. It's almost like a puzzler. It's addicting and fucking awesome, and it's only 80 Microsoft points.
Okay, oh, that sounds dope.
And you can download a demo for it. I downloaded the demo, played two stages, went out and bought it right then and there.
Cool.
The other one is an older Xbox 360 game, XCOM: Enemy Unknown. It's I forgot who makes it, but it's a great strategic game, and they have a certain mode on there called Iron Man. With Iron Man, you can't go back and access old save files. So you command an army, pretty much. Your soldiers, like, they'll gain experience during missions while you're trying to over the course of you trying to stop this global alien invasion. But the thing is, with Iron Man mode, your soldiers die, they won't come back. Like, if they die in a mission, they're gone. Like, and you get it. I personally got attached to some of them because, like, I got them from, like, rookies all the way up to, like, colonels. And to have someone, like they had tons of missions and they died, and then they go up on like the Wall of Fame in your base, and it's a crazy, really, really fucking strategic turn-based shooting game. So,
okay, yeah, and they're coming out with like a part two to that, right? And it's like a, at least I thought I saw like a bunch of stuff this year for like the arcade. You know how Xbox always does the Summer of Arcade or whatever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought I saw something for that where it was like, yep, XCOM 2 is coming out.
Yeah, XCOM is a, I mean, when I first started playing, I thought it was like kind of stupid, but I mean, there's so much in it because like you have to upgrade your base with workshops. Like you gotta, there's like a council of different, countries that are overviewing the whole entire alien invasion. Like you gotta keep them happy by giving them satellites, maybe give them certain ships or technology so they can shoot down the alien UFOs when they're over their country, or they'll back out of the project, take away your money. Every month, like, you get a grade rating on how you did that month as far as stopping alien invasions or if you lost countries and everything else. It's so strategic, and it's the kind of game that just like sucks me in, and I can't stop playing it because I want to like do everything in it.
Okay. So,
and what finally, the third one was released on PC this week. It's called Shadowrun Returns. If anyone played like Shadowrun on Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo, it was a Kickstarter funded game. They got enough funding for it. I think it was like either $9 or $20 through Steam. Simple turn-based shooter, like similar to those old Shadowrun games from Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis. And I was nostalgic for that kind of feeling, so that's why I bought it.
Okay. Is it fun? Have you got to play it or?
Yeah, I've gotten to play it. It reminds me. See, I don't know if most people think it's fun because it's a turn-based shooter, not unlike XCOM a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it has that steampunk cyber feel where, like, because that was the whole thing with Shadowrun. Like, they brought back magic into the fold. There's some elves, trolls. You know, they're all living side by side. You can jack into computers. Like, it had a really good kind of like this. I don't know. I love that kind of. That feeling of the old school games, and it is also a tabletop RPG game as well. So this is the super nerd in me right now, guys. So hey, it's an old school game. The people who made it did it clearly as a tribute to the Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo games. There's even a few characters from them, familiar areas. It's nostalgic. It's simple, and I'm having fun with it.
All right. Well, I've been
fine unless you know the history of Shadowrun. Mm-hmm. But you know, they were able to get enough funding through Kickstarter to do a game that actually runs, that looks great on my laptop, and that's running at lower settings. So,
All right. Well, I've been playing a bunch of little stuff from like the arcade, going back through my digital games that I downloaded from Xbox Live. I play Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for a little bit. This game called Aegis Wing, which was free when it came out. I don't know if it's still free or not. It's a real simple just shooter, but I find it like real fun to play when I'm listening to something else in the background. So if I listen to like a podcast or album or something, I just throw Aegis Wing on and like go through that. It's actually really fun, man. And you can like join up to like four other buddies and like all play together. So, you know, I suggest people do it if they, you know, have friends that have the game, and like, it might still be free. I'm not sure.
Oh no, I'm looking it up right now. So
I played some Borderlands too. That was cool. Like I said, hopped on with Womb God. I played a lot of Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes, you have.
The game is just so good, man. And it's one of those games.
That's not like that 2D side scrolling one, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's real old school. Like, it's real old school. Like, River City Ransom and, you know, Double Dragon. Yeah, I almost said Dungeon Dragon. Double Dragon and Streets of Rage. It's like that.
It's fun to watch him play.
Except it's role playing too, because you have to level up. Cause you know how in the old school, you get three lives and then you die, you can hit the continue button, but you know, but this one, you actually level your character up and it stays with you. So like, by the time you get to level 17, you can go back through the first level and just dust everybody's ass off.
Hey Rod, I don't know if you've tried it or not, mm-hmm. It's pretty similar to what you're saying with Scott Pilgrim, Castle Crashers.
Oh yeah, of course. Mm-hmm.
That's another one. That's
one of the best games ever. Period. Yeah,
I was so like, I felt greatness when I actually beat it.
Yeah.
When I finally beat it, I felt like I accomplished something. That game, and I, you know, even for an Xbox Live game, they gave you a great enough ending with that shit.
Yeah, so. And you get friends on there and shit too. It's super funny. Like, yeah. Super good.
And Aegis Wing is still free, people.
It is? Okay, so yeah, y'all should get that, man. You see me playing it, hop on, man. It's fun. I probably won't be talking a lot because I'm probably listening to something in the background, but you know, that's my shit. Yeah, Scott Pilgrim is the shit. Fucks with that, ranked up. And then another game I've been playing while listening to other shit in the background, Need for Speed Undercover. And I feel like it's the only good Need for Speed game. Like, I've played other Need for Speed games, but this one actually has a story. And the story is kind of cool, but the way they fit everything into the world is dope, and leveling up and all that stuff is dope, man. So, like, everybody should check it out.
I had a hard time with the Need for Speed games. Like, I don't know. Like, I think what was maybe because, like, the story aspects sometimes they try to put on into them. And I think Rockstar did Midnight Club, and when I started playing that, I was just like, all right, I think I found my racing game, but.
Yeah. Well, those are my games for the week.
That's cool, man.
Yo, just FYI to people, I found out this morning, Deadpool is now available for download also in the market. Mm-hmm. It's $49.99. I really wish they dropped it down to $39.99, but mm-hmm. Yeah, it's at least, if you were thinking about, if you wanted to pay $49.99 for it, you can now do it and not have to go to the store to get it, so it's available on demand. So,
yeah, I bought a ton of stuff. I actually bought a ton of stuff when they had that sale.
Yeah, I did too.
Last week, I'll try to log into my Xbox Live and see if because I think it gives me a history of what I bought. But I know I got like The Witcher 2, and it was like $10 or something.
Yeah,
it was like super cheap, man. And then what else did I get? The Orange Box was $5.
Yeah, he got me Skyrim.
Oh yeah, it was. Yeah,
If I would have noticed that, I would have went on ahead and downloaded. That Orange Box collection is great. I think people still play Team Fortress on the 360, and Portal is, you know, I think that was like Game of the Year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got Portal 2, I think. Like just a ton of shit, man. Well, I was just like, this is all out here. Like, I probably only spent like $40 that weekend or whatever. But it, you know, it was worth it. Like,
I almost bought the Orange Box myself. I was like, there's too many games playing right now. So
and I don't even think I beat episode 2 of Half-Life 2. I know I beat Half-Life 2 and episode 1. I don't think I beat episode 2.
Well, I mean, it was definitely worth it when you look at all those sales. They still have some sales going on, by the way, in case people are wondering. You can, you know.
That's one thing I've always seen that people complain about with the Xbox Live. Some people, like, they complain about the ads on Xbox Live. And I'm like, they're not really ads to me because they're telling me what's available on Xbox. I mean, there is an ad on there, like in the small corner in the box. For the rest of the stuff, it's like telling me available DLC, telling me available games that are on discount. It tells me the new apps they have going on. I mean, I guess those are ads, but they're ads for improving your Xbox Live experience.
Right.
And so I like that. I mean, I want to know.
It's just one click.
Right.
And you can buy this shit. You know, like, it downloads, you can set your background downloads on. It just starts downloading right then. You know, I go somewhere, do something for a couple hours, come back. Now I have four new games on my Xbox that I didn't have before I left the house.
I like it. I like it a lot. I know Roger got me that Skyrim.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was like, well, should we go to the store? Should we not go to the store? I was trying to debate that. And and it cost, you know, it was so close in price. It was like
It was actually more at the store.
That's right. It was more at the store.
Unless you bought a used copy, to which I was like, just spend $5 more and don't even leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, it makes sense to me. So I bought Need for Speed Undercover. It was like $15. I got Asura's Wrath. That shit was $10. Of course, Crysis 3, that was $20. Bulletstorm was $5. Orange Box was $5. Witcher 2 was $10. It was just shit like that where it's like, yeah, I need to have these. So, since they were on special, I had to pull a Wound God and cop those joints, man.
Hey, Kev, you're a Raptors tone. Are you playing Aegis Wing already, man?
Yeah. Oh, shit, really? It did.
Yeah. Hey man, but you know,
I just was like, oh, let me try it out right quick. Yo, this is like, I mean, it's like a cheap version of like playing like old school like Life Force and Gradius.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun. It has different power ups. Like you shoot shit, you got different. And the power ups were ones that I hadn't seen in games necessarily before.
Right.
So that was cool. And then the other thing that was dope about it, you don't die just every time a bullet hits you. So it's not like super difficult. And I can do other shit while I do it. Like Kev can probably do the whole podcast and play Agent's Wing the whole time. Cause mm-hmm. it's not that kind of game where, like, I don't always.
Need your undivided attention.
I couldn't tell why you guys could hear the clicking of my buttons and shit in the background. So.
Nah.
I couldn't hear it, okay. But it's not the kind of game where it's like, you know, where I'm playing it and then I'm like, well, I got lost in the story. What happened? You know? But, yeah. So let's talk about a bunch of random nerd shit. We got the games out the way.
Yeah.
Bryan Singer decided to post a picture of the Sentinel, for the new X-Men, Days of Future Past. Do not want eject. Dude, are you serious?
Like, oh, go ahead.
This shit looks like, first of all, it looks super plastic. Second of all, it's not big enough. Like, cause that was a thing. And I was like, well, okay, maybe they don't have the budget to make it big enough. Or maybe this is like the production version, but then they're going to create like a small town for it to step around or some shit. But it doesn't look like a Sentinel also. And it doesn't look menacing. It's scary. It looks fragile as shit. Has a big ass like fan in his chest.
Looks like a vacuum cleaner.
It does.
You know, it should be on display at Target.
Yes.
All those other vacuum cleaners. and like, you know how they start off looking horrible. You go down the line, they're cheap, and they start getting looking better and better with the Dyson balls and shit. Last one be this fucking Sentinel.
You're right. You hit the button and like when the lights light up, it goes.
It, you know, it looked like the
giant fucking Mega Maid.
It looks like the thing in Star Wars.
Star Wars?
Yeah.
Oh, through CPO.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You are
wow. It does in the face.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit. That's what I thought about when I seen it. I was like, that's not scary at all.
It doesn't even look like it can, like, it doesn't also look like it's, it has the right points of, I forget what you call it on a model where, like, the points where you can move, like, you can, your joints on your arms and fingers.
The proportions are all off on it. I mean, look at, first of all, that the right arm is the Gatling gun, and I'm like, dog, that's like the smallest Gatling gun I've ever seen in the world here.
Yeah,
like that is, it's just the arms look fragile. It looks very fragile, and I'm like, you guys, I think Fox is doing this thing where whenever there's something they know that might not look great or might not be great, they have Bryan Singer tweet it out, because he's the one that gave us the Halle Berry news. He's the one that told us that Havoc's going to be back in the movie. Now he's doing this shit with. He's the one that tweeted out the full size version of the Sentinel. Everything that Bryan Singer tweets out is just makes you go, right?
Right.
Why? And
he's really turning into like the Michael Bay of comic book movies.
And my thing is this, and I guess from my perspective, it's somewhat disappointing. It's go, okay, you were too cheap to spend the proper amount of money in CGI to make it as big and overpowering as it should be. So you did this shit right here because you did not want to invest them. It makes me think you really did not want to invest the money, which in return makes me think it's going to be a shitty ass movie.
Yeah.
I could even go with this size. I could go with this size being fine if they just kept it simple. It's like, It goes back to what you. This is exactly what you said last week, Rob. When you're like, Fox sees the stuff in the comic books, and they go, "Oh, well, that stuff's not cool.
It's not good enough.
And so they came out with this. If you look at the Sentinel designs in the comics, they're actually pretty fucking simple.
They're way simpler than this. They're way bigger than this, and they're way scarier than this. And it doesn't. Honestly, and then when you look at this model, there's not a lot of points of articulation on it. Like, it looks stiff. So it's not even like scary on some like, oh, well, it's more mobile and agile than a big ass Sentinel would have been. So there's not even that part of it. Like my thing, when I envision Sentinels in my brain, there's only two kinds. There's the ones that we know from the X-Men, like cartoon and shit, that like will bust open a building with his hand and grab your ass.
That's mutant.
Yes. And that's scary enough, right? And then there's the other one that was in the Bastion Zero Tolerance, timeline or storyline where they were humans that just like, you couldn't detect that they weren't actual humans until it was too late. And then they could just fucking flip and turn into these like human sized sentinel robots that were able to like dampen people's powers and like all these different things. And they were scary because you didn't fucking know if there was a sentinel or not.
True.
Those are the only scary versions of sentinels. Like this little like RoboCop looking motherfucker is not scary, dude. Stop. But yeah, they don't like, think that the comic book is cool enough.
You know, what kills me about this is that...
What is that?
Somebody... I'm sorry, I'm making tea. This is good. Yeah, sorry. I had to take the phone off of mute.
It's like, cheerio.
What killed me about it is, if you go back and watch something like Terminator...
Yes, nigga.
Right, if you go back and watch something like Terminator, those robots, fucking scary. And that was how long ago? Like, I don't understand... Right. Who at Fox saw this and was like, yeah, that's menacing.
That's a great idea.
Like, even, I'm okay with you even taking the simple Sentinel design and changing it. Like, again, like I said, the size might be too small, but yeah. I'd even go with the size. Mm-hmm. I'd be fine with the size if it looked fucking scary. Like, the head, when they first tweeted, I was like, okay, I can deal with that. I don't know why they put the little translucent face visor on it, but okay, fine, whatever. Like, I was going to look past that. But now when I see this whole thing, it's like, why'd you make the rest of it translucent so I can see the inner workings? Like, why do I need to know that it's a robot? It's like, I know that already. Yeah. It's like,
well, it seems like it's a model too, because I see right. The little logo. So maybe Magneto fucks up the metal ones that are model ones, and then they come out with the plastic joints.
I'm fine with them making the plastic. I'm even fine with the plastic. But it's just, don't make it look this cheap. It's like,
yeah, it looks terrible.
It just looks stupid. It does. Like, it looks stupid.
Did you look at the fucking fan vents on the arm?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, this looks fucking retarded. It's like,
I wouldn't think something like this would hurt me.
No, it wasn't. You know, it looks like when I order a big happy kids meal at McDonald's, I'll be like, do I want the purple one or the blue one? And now I want the purple one, and that's what I gave my kids, and 2 weeks later, and I ain't got no arms and legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hasbro makes better fucking menacing fucking robots.
Right.
For kids.
And they're clearly, I'm telling, you know what? I just feel like they are clearly going to try to make this shit match up with the other ones and take away everything that was promising about First Class. Like, for whatever flaws you might feel First Class had, it did have promise. And there were like, and it made people more excited about the idea of, a new X-Men movie. And as soon as they said, we're going to get Singer, we're going to bring back these other actors, I'm like, so what are you going to do to make this shit match up with the other shit? Because that's what y'all do with Fox is you go, we can't just do another movie and pretend like the other one didn't happen, can we? It's like, nah.
You really can.
You could, but I feel like they're not.
Yeah. Well, here's what scares me with this. And I said this earlier this week. What's scaring me about what Fox is doing right now is I'm seeing way too many quotes and interviews with the older cast than I am with Fassbender, McAvoy. Like you said, the thing that worked with First Class was Fassbender, McAvoy, and the newer cast.
Right.
I feel like if you spend too much time with Halle Berry, Patrick Stewart, McKellen, all of them, this movie's already going to be a fucking fail. Because you've now gone from the stuff that was supposed to work with First Class.
There's no more hope. It's just... hey guys, it's really X-Men 4. Like, okay.
They, some people were really excited because, Fox had, for their Days of Future Past panel, had the largest panel of anybody else with all the actors on stage and stuff like that. And I was like, that actually does not give me hope because when has Fox ever made one of these movies good where they've had a lot of these actors?
Right.
They're gonna do it worse. I mean, it's just like, you know, I already feel like, Whedon and them have won on the Quicksilver thing. Mm-hmm. Like, we already know what's going to happen with Quicksilver in this fucking film. They're going to use him for one fucking scene, and he's basically going to be a goddamn delivery boy for something.
Yeah, or just, you know, like they did in Wolverine or whatever, where they just kind of like throw people in to be like, hey, we had him in the movie.
Yep.
You're like, but that's not what Viper does in the comic book. Yeah, if she was in the movie. We made up our own version of Viper that doesn't have much to do with the comic book, but hey, they were in the movie. Oh, Yu-Gi-Oh's in the movie. Silver Samurai's in the movie. You're like, but you don't, this is not them from the books, and this is actually a worse version. Didn't make them cooler, you actually made them worse.
It's funny, people always talk about how Tom Hardy's Bane didn't have Venom, so he wasn't really Bane. I was like, listen, that Bane actually caught the essence of Bane. And that's what Nolan did really well with his films. Same thing with what Marvel Studios does with their films. Even with something like The Mandarin.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they pulled that switch with Ben Kingsley, before then, they pretty much captured what The Mandarin, like his demeanor, everything about him. And then they flipped the switch on you later on as part of the story. Fox has never really done that with any of their characters, particularly their villains. Never have they done it. They never capture the essence of that. And looking at this Sentinel image, I'm like, you still haven't captured it. The Sentinels are, yes, just supposed to be these menacing robots that hunt mutants. But they are, like one Sentinel can be a problem. Like, I remember I was talking to somebody earlier about how, as much as people hate Cyclops, it really obsessed me that we're making these X-Men movies without Cyclops. Mm-hmm. And I told them that the scene that I'll always remember is from Astonishing X-Men, when they're trying to get that Sentinel off the front lawn of the goddamn mansion.
Hell yeah.
And Scott fucking unleashes his visor, takes his glasses off, and goes fucking ape shit. And Wolverine looks at him and goes,
who put a nuclear device inside his fucking head?
Right.
And Wolverine looks at Scott and goes, Summers, now I'm always reminded once in a while why you're in charge. It's like, that's why. Because it took him fucking unleashing to get that Sentinel off the... It wouldn't take you to do that for this goddamn Sentinel. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. And then, I mean, not to even mention if fucking Cyclops and Jean are even in this shit. Just.
Jean. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's just everything Jean. Fox does has never
Jean! Don't do this, Jean.
Yeah. It's just,
I'm sorry, dog. That old 90s X-Men cartoon was greatness.
Oh, man. They made Wolverine and Storm such bitches on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like
Storm had a quote, fucking poem before she could use her power.
Right. By the goddess!
Storms that were born of the winds!
But you know what? It was still better than I finally watched the scene again.
Yes, nigga.
With Halle Berry saying, you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? Oh my God! It's not the line. I think everybody thinks it's the line.
It's the delivery.
No. Yeah. That's what the director said. It's the delivery. They say they didn't write it like that, and then when she delivered it, it was so terrible that most people was like, "What the hell is she doing?"
She's horrible as
a
person.
She read back a menu. It was like she was reading back a Chinese food menu. And it was so bad. Like, her acting in that movie was so bad. So when Bryan Singer goes, we brought back Halle Berry because the fans wanted her, fuck you, Bryan Singer. Right.
What fans were you talking to?
Now, I do have some good fan service news.
Let's go.
John Williams will score the new Star Wars trilogy. Now, this is a big deal because one of my homies who's normally on the show, Aaron Rand Freeman, loves some John Williams. And
why that he doesn't die? I mean, goddamn, that guy's old as hell.
Well, he was nervous that, the good news is you can make all the music now, you know, release it over time, but, he was nervous as shit that John Williams wouldn't want to have anything to do with, the new Star Wars, without George Lucas really being at the helm. And, John Williams is like, of course I want those billions of dollars. So I'm glad to hear him doing
it. That's an idiot.
Man, John Williams scoring and hopefully J.J. Abrams is still going to end up being doing this.
Yeah.
Shit.
Another thing I have to, more positive movie news. See, it's not all negative shit here at the Nerd Off. I love, absolutely love what I heard about Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh,
Shailene Woodley, or Shailene Woodley, however you pronounce it, she is slated to play Mary Jane in the Amazing Spider-Man trilogy. She shot some scenes for Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they took them all out.
Yep.
Now, most people are going to act like they're pissed because, you know, that's what nerds do. Be like, oh, why would you take it out? That's what's wrong with the last film. You cut stuff out. Nope. Actually, that's what's right with the last film. And that's what it gives me hope for this one. I think sometimes you get overambitious and you see something and you go, actually, it doesn't work. So we can either add, you know, 6 minutes to this film to try to explain why she's in it, or we can just take her out and just save it all for the third film or, you know, whatever. And I like that, man. Like, I really appreciate them being like, why waste time trying to explain something that actually isn't essential to the story we're crafting, because they're not trying to craft the Spider-Man Sam Raimi did. They're trying to do the Amazing Spider-Man that they're building from the ground up. So, yeah, this is good news, man. I'm glad.
It doesn't mean Gwen Stacy has to die.
Well, she's gonna die soon.
Yeah, she got to die.
Shout out, Chris.
This news actually came a while back, but they keep asking her about it, and like you said, every time they ask about MJ in this movie, they keep giving the same answer. It's like, we shot scenes. We realized that we actually just don't need the character right now.
Right.
And I'm with you on this. I'm like, that is awesome. That is why I'm down with this. I'm sorry. Did you guys actually see the leaked trailer?
Yeah, I did. And, I posted.
I did not.
I posted it, and that shit got taken down within seconds. So.
Yeah, nigga. First of all, about the Gwen facing dying, there's a lot of foreshadowing in that trailer.
Yeah.
So they do this one, just not even a lot. There's one scene. It kind of foreshadows it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if it's going to happen in this movie. Right. It might be the third one, but yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they saved it for the third one, because, like, they actually introduced. And the other thing is, in this one, she said that Shailene Woodley said she's only in, like, three scenes. She only filmed, like, three or four scenes.
Right.
And they're all only 45 seconds. So even if she would have been in it, they weren't going to ram it down their throats. But they know their fucking fan base of nerds so well that they were like, just don't do it.
Yeah,
because that's what they'll be pissed.
Have a big role.
Yeah.
A big role. People are going to bitch that she didn't have a bigger role.
Right.
Even knowing this is a third goddamn film.
Yep. They don't care. Like, that's one thing nerds have proven, is they have no fucking ability to think about things as like, well, there's going to be three parts. They're always like, why didn't the first movie address every fucking possible thing about this hero? It's like, because you need to leave something to do another movie and a movie after that. But I want it right away, you know?
Oh, I hate that. I'm like, well, you know what they're doing. Like, these are comic book movies that they're trying to now make. We're now making comic book movies where very rarely are you making one movie.
Right.
You're writing comic book movies like you would comic books, which means there are going to be after credit scenes. There are going to be, not to be continued, but basically to be continued.
Right.
In these films, because that's what gets you going on. They're almost like episodes of TV shows.
True. Right, exactly. So I remember after the first one, Amazing Spider-Man, some people were like, well, I'm mad because they didn't tie up this storyline. I was like, well, that's a bigger theme throughout his entire, like, Spider-Man arc. That probably is going to be addressed in a movie or two. And then they were like, well, I'm going to be mad until they address it in the second movie. I was like, why would you hold that anger in? Like, why wouldn't you just enjoy this movie, and then if it's not addressed at some point, then you go, okay, that kind of fucked this movie up.
When people say that shit, I always call into the question their comic book nerddom, because I'm like, you read a comic book, you'll read an episode where they bring in something like this, and then, like, the next three issues, they don't even bring it up again. Hell, it might be 10 issues,
right.
And then all of a sudden, they bring that shit back, like, hey, remember that 10 issues ago? Yeah, we're going to talk about it now.
Right. Like, it's like, you know who was the best for that was, back in the day in Wolverine, when they used to have the Sabretooth shows up on Wolverine's birthday issues. Like, you would forget about Sabretooth. Like, it literally would be like three issues of him fighting Sabretooth. And then he would go off and do a ton of shit. Go to Madripoor, go to Japan, like he'd be in the middle of another time, like, storyline. And it'll just be like right when he's like showing up and talking to, like, I don't know, Nightcrawler in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Sabretooth busts in, cuts Nightcrawler's stomach out, and then just starts fucking Logan up. And you're like, what the fuck? Is it September already? It is. Like, that was my all time favorite, just like continuous story. And then one year they flipped it where Wolverine was doing something.
Right.
And in the middle of his story arc, he was just like, I'm done fighting the hand. And it ends with him crashing Sabretooth's party where he was getting celebrated for becoming the Hand's number one enforcer. And he comes in and kills everybody and fucks him up. And he's like, now I'm going to be doing it to you. I was like, yo, whoever's writing this, thank you.
See, that's the thing that, again, reason why I hate Fox so much is because we can't get these things on film. I remember I got the Sabretooth miniseries. When he was going back and forth, I can't remember the exact plot for that, but he was, at one point, he went to Paris to try to find Mystique, right?
Yes.
And so he's about to fight. Then it turns out that Mystique is actually like, I think, on a date with like Logan.
Yes.
Oh, I remember that shit.
And that shit was funny as shit, because Logan wanted to fight the fuck out of him. Mystique is like, boys, come on, let's do that.
Dude, one of the things, because I didn't really like the last Wolverine movie that much. But could you have imagined if instead of that third act that we really don't give that much of a fuck about, because like he fought Shingen and we pretty much were like, all right, that's really the story arc that was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But they were like, let's throw a mech fucking in this bitch. And let's, like, what if they would have just had randomly, he fights Shingen. It seems like he's wrapping the story up, and then fucking Sabretooth from the first film busts up in there.
Oh, that would have been greatness.
God damn, that would have been good.
Sabretooth?
Yes. Like, the last 30 minutes is him and Sabretooth going toe-to-toe.
Just have Logan sitting at fucking Denny's or some shit.
Yes.
Like, at the end of the movie, and just busting Lee Schreiber, tossing him out of the fucking door and shit.
Dude, there's a issue of Wolverine where Sabretooth is trolling him on his birthday, and he's not even, like, fighting him. It's just he's doing fucked up shit. Like, Wolverine will be, like, walking down the street, and I want to say it was, like, he was going through something where, like, he lost his powers because Magneto took that metal out of him or something. And it was just, like, Wolverine be walking down the street, and then he just hear, like, a laugh. Or he get, like, a whiff of Sabretooth, and he go down the alley to see if he could find him, and there wouldn't be anything. And then it kept getting worse and worse. Like, at one point, he gets his back clawed, and he turns around, and nobody's there. Like, it just shit like that where I'm like, man, you could do that in a movie. And, like, instead of this being a mediocre Wolverine movie, it would jump up into, like, oh, this is one of the best comic book films of all time, like, because it's a twist I didn't see coming, but it makes sense.
It sounds so great to us, though, but the normal person going to the movies, they wouldn't really get it. I don't think they would be smart enough to get that kind
you
of
think
stuff.
They, but do you think they get the shit they're doing now? Like, yeah, that superpower Deadpool, mech samurai dude, like, mm-mm. I don't think they really get it like that,
you know. And I can truly say most of these comics I have not read. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm almost looking at it from a non-comic book perspective, so to me everything is new to me, like, yeah. So to me, I've heard you talk about like Deadpool and all these other people, and to me it's one of those things where you kind of don't get it. You just want something cool, you want something different, you want something this out of the norm, and I'd rather see that Wolverine shit than the bullshit they've been giving me.
Also, you know what else? Sabretooth was like the only cool part of that fucking origin story, so.
Right.
Wait, it would have been cool.
It's like, there's a lot of, some of the funniest parts with Wolverine are when he's like literally just doing nothing. Like, he's sitting at a bar drinking or something like that. There's another one of my favorite ones was he was at a bar drinking with Cannonball, right? And I think, like, Juggernaut walks in or something like that. And he gets off in Juggernaut's face. And he's standing on the table. And because he's so short, he's standing on the table with a claw in Juggernaut's face. And Juggernaut's standing. And Juggernaut's just like, hey, come on, man. I'm just here to drink.
Right. Yes. I've seen that with you.
That joint is just funny because he always wants to brawl, man. He always wants to fucking fight. And then other people are just like, they're always calling him shrimp and puny and stuff like that because they know he's short as shit.
Yes.
But it also pisses him off.
Dude. They could, I mean, they're not going to, but, and I shouldn't romanticize it, but yeah, just that, you know, that would have been cool. Speaking of sequels, James Cameron, the boss of all bosses, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to this movie shit, like that's a motherfucker that knows how to just make money.
Yep.
Like everything he does is $1 billion.
So James Cameron, what is your skill set? Making money?
Yeah, how? I make billions, B. Right? I make billions. That's what I do.
With the B.
So he decided that or he announced, because I'd heard this for a while, but I guess it's confirmed now. He's gonna, you know, do the sequel to Avatar. Everybody was waiting on that. Did y'all know this motherfucker is doing there's going to be three sequels to Avatar, and he's filming them all at the same time?
I kind of knew about, like, I knew he was going to try to do it as a trilogy, but four more?
Well, Avatar 2, 3, and 4.
Okay.
He's going to film them all at the same time. He's got three different teams of writers.
Damn.
And I heard about the filming of the first one, and as much as people try to turn around and like reverse history like that shit wasn't good, Avatar was great in the theater.
Yes, it was.
And I still like that movie. I don't care what anybody says.
Me too. And the thing is,
it was, and you know, one thing about him that I admire him for, he understands the theater. That movie was designed to be watched in a movie theater. If you watched it at home, you did not get the same effects. And to you, it was like, it was okay. But when you see it in the theater and you seen it in 3D and that shit popped out and you seen the colors and it was a lot more interactive, he has a niche for designing things like that.
He revolutionized motion capture.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's, and also, he's one of the few people, he's one of the few movies that when I walked out, everyone in my theater was like, that was amazing.
Yes.
And when I finally, like a few weeks later, when people started discussing it in the nerd forums and being like, well, the story's kind of simple, that was exactly when I was like, I don't believe y'all. Like, I never will believe that y'all didn't have a great time watching that movie in the theater.
Right.
Yeah. I hate the reverse history people pull in that movie. Yeah. Like, they make it seem like it sucks. It was like, wasn't it up for Best Picture that year?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I believe so. Yeah.
It's like, shut the fuck up.
And like you said, he revolutionized motion capture. Like, they use that face camera technology shit that he was doing. And also, nobody's done a better 3D movie since.
Ain't that the truth?
So, you know, like, I've watched a ton of movies in 3D. That is still the one that, like, made like an extra muscle in the middle of my brain work.
Dude, that movie released, if I remember correctly, that movie released in January and still made $1 billion.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So that's another one of those, I should have brought that one up when we were talking about movies have to come out in the summertime to make a lot of money. But it came out in like January and made a lot of fucking money. And I hate when people go, well, it was just good special effects. I'm like, yes. Like, there are some movies that can survive on just good special effects. And that movie is one of them.
Yeah, they say it like it's bad. I forgot about that. Yeah, I've had that conversation. Like, well, it just had great special effects. Like, yeah, that's why I pay money to see shit. I don't always pay money to see these, like, fucking dramatic.
I always pay money to see movies. But when I do, great special effects.
You know, it's no Winter's Bone.
If you take away the motion capture and the 3D and the IMAX format, it's really not that great of a movie. You're right. It's Fern Gully then.
Right. That's why I go see it in the theater.
That's why I'm glad. $20 a ticket.
Anyway, I'm hyped. He said they're going to come out 2016, 2017. The only thing that worries me is release date, fatigue, because that's what happened to The Matrix, in my opinion.
Right.
Is they got a little too ahead of themselves and they released them.
The Matrix sequels weren't really good either, though.
I like The Matrix 2. I liked it a lot. Especially
The Matrix 2, yeah.
Especially the highway fighting scene was really dope. I actually liked The Matrix 2. But when they turned around and released the third one, like, because you waited like 2 or 3 years to get The Matrix 2.
Right.
And then they released the third one like 6 months after the second one. And it was like a fatigue. Like, people were just like, man, I'm fucking tired of this world. I'm tired of this bullshit. Like, I don't care. There's no, like, you didn't give me time to adjust to the idea of now they're outside of the Matrix and doing all this fighting. Like, people just were like, yeah, I don't care anymore. And I hope that that's not what happens with Avatar, where he's like, yeah, I got to release one in 2015. Then I got to turn around and release one at the end of 2015. Then I'm going to release one in 2016 during the summer. Like, I hope it doesn't get to that point where I'm like, oh, great. The other Avatar's out. I guess see it.
Here's why I like what I like about Avatar about it. I think they created a really nice world. And I'm like, even though it's not a comic book, I'm waiting for other movie directors, and maybe James Cameron will do this with this, are to create their own movie universe with an original concept. So take the Avatar world and then make movies based off of the Avatar world.
Oh, like so, three different stories. It's not even all... Like, they're not even all...
It's just not really a part of that.
Right.
Like, they're in that same universe, but not that same Avatar story.
Yeah, that could be dope, actually.
It's almost like the extended universe for, like, Star Wars or Star
Trek. Right. Yeah, if someone's going to do it, Cameron would be that dude.
Yeah, I think you could do... I mean, I'm not saying he's going to do that with these, or I haven't heard anything about the plot for these movies.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, we've now gotten to the point where now you can do that kind of stuff, where you can now link like comic book movies are doing it to link their movies together because these characters are coming from comic books and the comic books are all linked.
Right.
And I'm like, well, why can't you do that with the other movies? You know, you make these movies, start linking them together and create some kind of continuity between them. I think that would be kind of dope. Now, to me, that's the next step in filmmaking.
Yeah.
Is to do that kind of stuff, to continue a story from a different point of view. You know?
Yeah, like that's a great point. And I hope you're right. Like, we'll see when they start releasing them, but yeah, that could be dope. Pacific Rim sequel could hinge on China. I've heard things from we are getting a Pacific Rim sequel to depends on what the China returns look like. But I know that Del Toro's already talking about it. And I'm excited, man. Like I said, I it's one of those movies where I tell people I love it. I don't just say blindly like everybody will love it. But I absolutely love it, and it's a movie specifically for all the shit I've been into.
Yep.
And I'm a fuck with it. I think other people can cross over and like it too.
It's the only movie I've paid to go see, like after seeing the screening so far this summer. Like I saw it free with an IMAX screening. I went out and saw it again. Like that was the only movie I've actually done that with this summer.
I can definitely understand, man. Like it's like I said, it's really good, and I could see people being like, well, I like Transformers, Voltron, you know, some of the more Americanized, you know, Power Rangers, and now I like this too. And I can also see people being like, oh, it's too simple, I didn't like it. But just the idea that it might get a sequel is just big for me, man.
Me too.
Yeah, it's at $230 million right now, so hopefully China will get it some number, because you know, to me it was very simple. But I don't see how people cannot like this film, to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, the stuff that was weird has been done way worse in films that people like. You know, it's just, I don't know. To me, it was a perfect balance.
And it was done with the authenticity that is rarely seen from shit that doesn't have American source material. Typically, people, when they're getting their inspiration from other stuff that's not from America, whenever they make an American movie, they always try to Americanize it. And Del Toro was like, nah, I actually like these things about this genre. And I know a lot of people in America that were like, I don't get it, you know? And I'm like, I feel you, you know, I get why you wouldn't get it. Like one of my friends, he doesn't like that there's two pilots in each mech, but that's like a thing that happens all the time in anime. Like it's a big part of it is how do you get this person to like control this mech and also manage their personal relationship with this person.
But what bothers me about that kind of complaint, though, is like, it's not like the film just does these things on accident. Like, this is what they do for the film. Like, you knew up front that there was going to be two pilots for the film.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually have an explanation for why there's two pilots in the film.
Yes, they do.
I don't see how you can then not like that they have two pilots. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's even like the corny nature of this film sometimes. Like, this is not a corny film. The corny moments in this film aren't done on accident.
Right.
They're done on purpose. And to me, it's like, if you do, I'll give you a perfect example. In Avengers, when Scarlett Johansson is talking to Tom Hiddleston, you know, when he's in the as Loki in the cage, and she's kind of acting bad, and you're like, why is she acting this way? And she flips it on you.
Right.
Like, you can't go, well, I didn't like the way her bad acting was before. It was like, well, wait a minute, that was done on purpose.
Right, yeah.
Like, I hate how people do that. Monster. They complain about stuff in the films that are done on purpose.
Yeah.
Like, it's done for a reason.
That's your play.
And even if you don't like it, like, to me, some of the corny stuff, I was like, I don't really like it, but I understand why they did it.
And I recognize I have a background with it.
Right.
To me, it would have been more weird if it didn't happen.
Right.
But for other people, it's weird because it did happen, because they don't have that background where it's like, you know, like with the whole thing when she first got in that suit and had that flashback, I was like, that is a thing that always happens. They never get in the suit and are good right away. It's always like, you always had that moment where it's like, should they even get back in there? Last time a bunch of people almost died. Like that's like a trope. And like, I could have understood people being like, yeah, I didn't like, or the wacky scientist like characters that are always like comic relief in a serious ass, like end of the world scenario. You always had these like dudes where you're like, why is this motherfucker acting so funny? I don't think this dude is funny, but it's like, oh, it's funny to me because I recognize it. And
but even that thing, it's like, that happened on Independence Day. data.
That's true. That's true.
It's like, that's what gets me about it. It's like, people say they don't like that stuff in films because it's anime or whatever, but to me that's it's a weak argument because we've seen these kind of things happen in Americanized films.
Right.
Just in slightly different ways, and we're okay with it. I don't know. To me, that's a good point. I find a lot of the hatred or some of the complaints about this stuff just a little silly and hypocritical because there's a lot of times we do enjoy that kind of stuff. So, but yeah.
All right. CBS and Time Warner are going at it.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And the customers are paying, ain't they?
Time Warner removes CBS and Showtime programming from their markets like New York City, Los Angeles, Boston, Chicago, Pittsburgh, Denver, Detroit, and Dallas, Fort Worth.
Damn.
Why?
Because they're negotiating, you know.
And all jokes aside, I'm gonna tell you right now, this is one reason why we changed from Time Warner Cable, because there would be nothing motherfucking worse than me watching Dora the Explorer with my niece, and all of a sudden across the screen, this little thing will flash, be like, "Hey, you like watching Dora the Explorer? I know you do. You're there with your kid right now. Well, we going through negotiations, and you know, at 12 p.m. on Friday, April the 26th, 2016, if we don't come up and start negotiating, you will no longer have Nick, MTV, VH1, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And you like, look, motherfuckers, y'all need to get y'all shit together. I don't give a fuck about this. I want to watch my TV.
I like how they keep trying to act like you're on it, like they're on your side.
You're not.
Like, that's the thing, like, and then they always end it with some shit for you to do, because they'll be like, go to CBSPleaseBeReasonable.com and let them know that you would like them to be reasonable and find out the steps for what to do if CBS is off. And then, like, the steps are always like, go to CBS.com and watch their programming, right? That's how they get around it. Guess what? CBS has blocked any Time Warner Cable broadband if they try to access CBS.com. And instead of showing the shows, it shows anti-Time Warner Cable ads.
Everybody got their middle finger up in this negotiation, don't they? Fuck you, no, fuck you.
That's literally like your parents getting a divorce and bringing the kids involved in it. It's like, why are mommy and daddy fighting? I just want to watch TV.
That's just so trill to me.
I know this is a nerd off, yeah. But I'll tell you one thing. They better both be glad this ain't during football season.
Bruh.
Because, man.
Oh, they will burn the buildings down.
Oh, Time Warner will get
made their minds up.
Time Warner gonna get dropped so fast after that first preseason game everybody missed. It won't even be. I'm telling you, it won't even be an actual game. It will be a preseason game where it's just like the Redskins game is on CBS today. So if you guys, they're playing the Dolphins. So if you guys want to see that preseason game, you're gonna need to get another cable provider.
Does Time Warner know that they lose this fight? Because you're not going to drop CBS. See, I mean, you can't drop CBS. CBS is going to have their shit.
Right.
So all people got to do is just switch cable providers.
Right.
Like, dude, you can't win this fight.
Nigga, the line on Saturday at the Time Warner cable box return...
It's gonna be off the chain, and the problem is this: Time Warner Cable, for it to be one of the biggest cable providers, they are really, really slow.
And that's not even counting. Wait, don't they do college football too?
They do. They do college football. Yeah, think about college basketball. You know,
they really need Bill Duke to come out of nowhere right now. I was like, you know, you fucked up, right?
Right.
Yeah, and what was even more fucked up is that they, when was it, when this season they gave Red Zone. Red Zone came out, right?
Yeah.
And when Red Zone came out, Time Warner Cable customers got a preview of it, and then it was like, hey, if you want to subscribe, like when it first came out, they came out and everybody had access to it, and then like halfway through, it knocked everybody out. Yeah,
they didn't even do like, you get a week free like they do with, like they do with the NBA, League Pass, where they give you a couple weeks. These niggas gave you a half of football free.
Yep.
like playing fucking NBA Blitz at the arcade, and you put in a quarter, you put in your 50 cents, they only give you that one fucking quarter to play.
Yes.
That's exactly what they fucking did to them.
And then your time ran out. That was like, you have T-minus 5 minutes before none of this counts. Beep. Right. He was like, wait a minute, let me call somebody.
I don't have any fucking quarters.
Right. Yes.
So, Time Warner is the worst, man. I am so glad I got files right now.
Dude.
Yeah.
Sometimes I complain about Comcast, but I'm like, what can you do, Kev?
Hey man, I'll pay a little extra for U-verse.
Yeah, we got AT&T U-verse, and here in Charlotte, for years it was Time Warner or nothing. Yeah.
Well, see, that's my issue, is like, Comcast is really the only other provider for like internet outside of, unless you want DSL, and I'm like, I'm not fucking with DSL again, especially now. Mm-hmm. And even then, my only other option is DirecTV, but they're going to come out and say, well, you need to tell the apartment complex to chop this tree down, or you're on the wrong side of your building, so you can't get DirecTV. So.
Well, I'll just say this. There's always something. That's all.
If
your shit ain't working, it's always something. Either you can threaten them with it, or you can actually switch. But it's always something where they'll be we'll figure it out.
Time Warner are really fucking up. Like, I don't understand how they think. But how do you win this? This is really one of those you see in a little Chihuahua barking at a pit bull, and you're just like.
Well, they, you know what it is? They pick their shot because nothing's on TV right now.
Right.
So they think they have the upper hand, but they gonna cave like fuck. But the first time it's like, don't forget Ohio State versus so-and-so CBS.
Oh, so CBS.
Man, motherfuckers about to lose their goddamn mind.
What?
CBS, I'd get a deal right now where I could put something really cool on CBS for like a 2-hour special.
Yeah.
Hey guys, guess what? We get to see Man of Steel for free.
Why don't you just preempt one of those like Saturday afternoon infomercials and just do like a 4-hour college football preview spectacular?
Right.
Yes.
Something like that, where it's like
at the last minute, call all the best commentators and be like, y'all know what? We're gonna pay y'all extra.
Yeah.
Just so we can film, and we're gonna film it live too. This is gonna be live only, where you only can see it at this time.
We actually go around to each team's individual practice and talk with the coaches about the plays.
Even better. You know what, today?
Oh, 64.
Today on CBS, we're gonna show you every single great game from last year.
Yes!
Oh, 510 of them.
We're even gonna get you some good high school games. Yes. All free today on CBS.
Watch live.
Title game from 2001. Well, you're going to watch it today.
Watch live for a chance to win tickets to the opening games of all your favorite schools.
For the rest of your life.
Full troll, dog. We're giving away Super Bowl tickets, dog.
Go to fuck.
Every hour on the hour.
If you would like to watch some of this programming, go to fucktimewarner.com for a 10-minute preview. Dude. All right. So now it's time to do some quick hits. This is probably the quickest, one of the quick hits. The FBI is pressuring internet providers to install surveillance software. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that. Things I don't get shocked by. Right. Microsoft bumped up the graphic processor speed on the Xbox One. Overclocked it a little bit on purpose to let people know that
they could do that shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And for everybody that was bitching about, you know, comparing the final specs.
It's not going to be fast enough. How can I play this shit?
Yeah. They just Microsoft does. I will say this. As much as they're terrible at marketing.
Yes, they are.
They really made a hell of a console when you consider the amount of changes they've done in the last like 2 or 3 months. Like, it was just like, oh, our shit bombed. Shit. All right. Look, no, let's change the DRM back to the disk. Can we overclock the processor? All right. That's cool. No more mandatory always on connect. They just changed all this shit.
We can get rid of that for now.
We'll bring it back later on. Don't cry, Billy. I know that was a beautiful idea. We'll bring it back.
And we honestly don't even know what the fuck it would do. Like, we don't know what the processor looked like.
They skimmed it back.
We don't know how it affected anything before this, and we don't know how it affected anything after. But just the fact that people were turning it into like, you know, cause the Xbox versus PlayStation console war is real. The fact that nerds were making it a point, they were like, okay, we'll just turn ours up. All right. We good here? All right, thanks, guys. Y'all have a good
one. Like, I'm like, so you have a 360 now, right? Yeah, but I wanted to be faster. It's like, but it's not faster than the PS3 that you didn't buy. So what does it fucking matter?
Yeah. Another thing that, by the way, reading all these, you would think I'd be getting hyped, but I'm actually get mad. I just get mad at Xbox. Kinect will let you talk to your TV in sign language.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, nobody brought this up. How is this not a thing?
How is that not? Awesome.
Yeah. Why didn't you come out and say this? Well, not just that. Why don't you just come out of E3 and have someone do sign language to the fucking Xbox?
Which would have been epic.
I feel like that's big news. That's fucking big news.
Yep. So apparently they didn't think it was big news enough to like actually, you know, tell people about it.
See, the only thing, I don't need to learn. I want to learn sign language. I want to be able to just have custom gestures that turn my Xbox on. So I walk up in that bitch and I put my middle finger up. It signs on, you know, and then.
I want to do the Degeneration X shit.
Oh yeah.
To turn on my Xbox with that Xbox crash chop.
Right. Just gestures get you to do different things in the Xbox. Like,
yeah.
I pull out a beer, it goes to Netflix.
Yeah. I want to turn my shit off, I just flip it off.
I thought throwing punches, it opens up the UFC app.
Yeah. Dude, that'd be so dope. Xbox One.
Microsoft is spying on this podcast right now. They're going to take everything we just said.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah, because the cable company already spying on us.
Did you get right? Time Warner sending this to him right now. Did you guys know that the Xbox One is apparently designed to not just last, but to actually be on for 10 years?
The Xbox One?
Yeah, it is apparently designed to stay on for 10 years straight, a decade.
What you mean, just on?
With you never turning the power off on your fucking console.
Woohoo!
That's crazy.
It's kind of dope.
I'm glad.
A year, like.
Cause mine died. My 360 was like, fuck you, nigga.
Right. This is insane.
I'm glad. What kind of battery life it got in there?
I don't know, but it seemed like something would go horribly wrong at some point. If my shit just stayed on for 10 years, like, I just come home and my house be on fire. Cause it's like, nigga, you know you can't leave your shit on.
Think about it. Think about what they were trying to do. Like, with the cable box stuff, your cable box technically stays on.
Yes,
it does.
And so I think that's what I think a lot of people misinterpret, again.
Especially with that always on thing that everybody got mad about checking in with the internet.
Yeah, I think people didn't understand that what that means. Like,
it will be passively on. Yeah, it'll be passively on. Like,
right.
It's not like you have to interact with it. Anyway, I just thought that was cool. Another thing, Xbox One is always running matchmaking in the background.
What that mean?
It's gonna find me a woman?
So, yeah, it goes on OkCupid. And, it says, hey,
for that app.
83% of people match your criteria. You can like be playing a different game or watching Netflix or whatever. And you can just say, hey, look for if, these people are playing Borderlands or, you know, I would like to, you know, join a Call of Duty game. I'm going to go do some other shit until I get a good match and, it'll do it for you. So
yeah. I have heard about those and like, it does sound really cool how they're going about the new matchmaking system.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not just going to be randomly matching you up with folks.
No, well, like if you put in like, you'll be able to put in your preferences and like the kind of people you would want to play and like, it's a whole lot. And they're also doing a lot stricter with the, like right now with the what was that, Chris?
The reputation.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was gonna talk about.
Yeah. Well, my bad for
no, that. No. Go ahead. It's fine. Go ahead.
But yeah, they were talking about how like you know we have the system to report people on the Xbox on Xbox 360.
Yes.
You know, it's a good way you can report people so that we can avoid them, but it's not like the most effective way. They're gonna make it so like it's. Like, when we report people for certain things, it'll be a lot more specific, and that way they can actually go out and send these people messages like, hey, cut out your racist stuff. If, you know, you get more, like, these kind of reports, they'll probably, like, ban them from Xbox Live or something
and
like
they
that.
And they're going to have a card system, too, where it's like, oh, this dude got a yellow card, you can get a red card, like, depending on who reported you and for what actions and stuff like that too. So
yeah.
And you know, I personally like this for several reasons. I like it for the fact that I know I'm not gonna get assholes anymore. You know, I know I'm not gonna get people, you're in the middle of the game, they'll cut that shit off if you beat them. I know I'm not gonna get people that's gonna come in there and do silly shit, and it will force assholes not to be assholes, as you won't be playing with nobody.
Well, also, it matches assholes with assholes.
Well, yeah, y'all can match together and cuss each other out.
Yeah, which is the other part that I always did feel like was kind of fucked up when people would be like, well, it's abusive language and it shouldn't even be on Xbox and stuff. And
no, y'all got...
Like, you know, my thing, I'm really, like, against censorship.
True.
For the most part. And I understand you're paying for a product, so you shouldn't be able to abuse people. But there's some people that think everything's abusive. So like, I don't want to get reported for being like, man, shit, you killed me again, motherfucker. And then next thing you know, it's like, you just got carded. Get rid of your Xbox, you know?
That's true, too.
I think I should be able to get matched up with the kind of dude that says shit and motherfucker.
And that's true, you know? Too.
And maybe I'm a shit motherfucker dude, but I'm not a nigger faggot dude. And you can have all your nigger faggot dudes go play together, too.
Like, that's true, too.
You yeah. know? You they can... pay their money for their experience. Go have that experience away from me.
And that's true, too.
And this is the thing that I know a lot of people are going to be like, they'll probably email you and Rob, be like, see, you guys are Xbox people. You guys... Where is Sony on this? Like, yeah. this is what I'm still not going to buy an Xbox One when it first comes out. But this is information that everybody was saying that Sony won. I'm going to get Xbox One lost me. It's like Microsoft, at least now, yeah, at E3, they came up with the wrong stuff. Even now, they're releasing stuff that lets me know, okay, this is why I like Xbox Live right. over and why I pay for Xbox Live over, say, PlayStation Network. And everybody's always like, well, it just doesn't seem like Xbox Live is worth the $60 a month. I mean, the $60 a year. To me, it is.
It actually has been.
If you can do this kind of stuff, like even now, the way the Xbox Live works, oh, it's work. I don't need to have free games all the time. Because I have enough games. You know,
and,
I don't.
And as someone who has both systems, I've tried the online for both systems. It's so much easier with the 360 over the PS3, like, just everything feels more easier in general.
Yeah, I mean, also, like, to be quite honest, I look for shit for Sony. I'm not getting anything. Like,
right.
There's, like, every week it seems like I get 5 or 6 new articles from Microsoft or Xbox. I can't find shit
some
for
good,
Sony.
Some good, some bad. Some good, some bad.
Yeah, not even shit that I always agree with. And even when it is, I still go, yeah, man, well, fuck y'all for not saying this shit when it counted.
But like, at least they talking.
They still make light of the fact that Sony's even came out and said after E3, they came out and said this in articles, like, yeah, we took out all the shit with our PlayStation camera because of how everything went over with the Kinect. Like, yeah. we took everything out right then and there, changed the prices on all that, just because of how things went over with the Kinect. Like, yep. they lost a lot of stuff functionality. They were trying to work with the new IR controller and everything else. So,
yeah. But I would be happy to report any positive or negative shit from Sony, too. They literally just aren't saying anything.
At all.
Well, it seems like to me that, we said this before, that Microsoft was playing the long game, and Sony really just did the haymaker at E3, and that's all they had.
Yeah.
Like, because to me, if I'm going to switch from being an Xbox person, because I'm only getting one, if I'm going to switch from Xbox to PS4, I need to know that their online system is going to be just as robust as Xbox Live. And that means, you know, being able to do everything I can do with my party system in Xbox Live that I can, you know, now, and doing that on PS4. And you can't do that right now on PS4. And they know they can't do that right now on PS3.
I can tell you this.
So,
thing, Chris,
are they going to do it?
What are you going to say, Kev? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I can tell you, too, also with this, Chris, it's cheesy, and I've caught in flack from my own friends about it, but I am kind of, like, happy about the gamer score I have with the 360. Like, certain achievements are fucking hard as hell to get, and, like, when you do get those achievements, most of the time you do press the button, see what you got the achievement for, and if it's one of those things, like, well, shit, man, that's kind of fucking awesome. No one else has actually ever done that. You know, those kind of things matter to me, too, and the fact that, you know, Xbox started with the acknowledging of that, Sony eventually added it in. Who's not to say Sony is going to add in all these same TV functionality features that Xbox One was trying to do?
Well, they already said they are. They said they are. So my thing is, and this is what I come down to. People are like, I just want to play games. Both of them can play games, and almost both of them can play the same fucking games. So if I'm going to pay $399 or $499 for a fucking system, I want to know that I'm getting the best bang for my buck. So it's not just about the game.
In this day and age, you don't want something that's just going to play fucking only games. You don't want something that's only going to play games. I'm sorry, like, that's why you won't find anyone with hardly a regular Nintendo, Super Nintendo, or PlayStation, original PlayStation, because that's all they really do is just play those same games. Like, to me, having that extra functionality, being able to switch from here to there, that simple, I'm all for that.
So, and also, it's like I said, it's just... Sony's not talking about it though.
Yo,
like Xbox is,
I think they're lost.
Yeah, well, Xbox is also releasing detailed shit every week, you know? This is exactly how this works. This is exactly what this feature does. These are, you know, and like even shit that doesn't make sense. They're like, We're gonna overclock our processor. It's gonna go from 800 gigahertz to 863.
I don't know what that means, but it
nobody knows
nice.
What the fuck that means. But it's just they're sharing and they're sharing. But like I said, Sony's gonna have to do like. I mean, I would love to cover more shit from them. Is all I'm saying. But yeah, I'm not buying either one day one. But come on, let me know.
Like I said, you know, the Sony's $400. Are you really gonna spend $400 just to play a fucking game?
Yeah.
No, you're not gonna do that. You're gonna want like. I just hate how people act like they don't want party chat on PS3. That they don't want some of the features that Xbox Live can do on Xbox Live. That they don't want that shit on PS Plus. You know you fucking do.
Yeah. The worst to me is when people are like, "Well, we're gonna get those things," and I'm like, "Well, why won't Sony talk about them?"
Hey, talk to them about it so I can see if they're gonna be better than what they have for Xbox Live. Because then, if it is better, then I'm gonna want that. But right now, Sony's giving us nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I gotta wait till these are in people's houses and hear my friends talk about them. Right. It's kind of like that Google Chromecast thing everybody's talking about last week.
Yeah.
I'll, you know what? If it's gonna cost me an extra $35, I'll wait and see what. Like, I'll pay $70 for it if I find out that it's that dope. But I gotta meet some people that say I plugged it into my TV, it worked easily, everything was great, I didn't have any issues before I go. This is the best thing ever, you know? So, also, ironically, last week, was just speculating, but, people are confirming, Microsoft says there will be a 360 headset adapter for Xbox One.
That makes sense.
So,
I think they also said, they're gonna do it so all the, old Xbox 360 headsets would be compatible, the wireless ones, and I think the wired ones as well. So that's also good news. And you know what, everyone, you know, these hardcore motherfuckers, or even my own friends, like, we have tons of email chains about this shit. Like, don't come like, see man, look what Microsoft's doing. They're just backtracking. And I'm like, dog, you really don't know what the fuck Sony's doing outside of a couple games that you think look cool. And then it's $100 cheaper. You really don't know what you're really getting.
Also, like, people were making a big deal because they were saying, like, the PlayStation will come with a headset. And I was like, that's cool. I already have a headset for my Xbox. Mm-hmm. And people were saying, like, well, the Xbox One isn't coming with headsets. And it's not going to be, they were not even going to do anything to make the old ones compatible. And I was like, I really don't believe that.
No.
Like, I was like, I have a hard time believing they won't come up with some sort of adapter. Because, like, to them, it's saving costs.
They even came out and said, like, with the new Kinect, you should be able to do voice chat through the new Kinect.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Just as you would if you were using a headset while playing the game.
Oh, so you just maybe talk to it and
talk to your friends.
I mean, the new Kinect, like, you'll be able to talk, have in-game chat with your friends just as normal as you would with a regular headset if you happen to want to use the Kinect sensor bar for the Xbox.
Like, what kills me about the Microsoft this backtracking thing is, it's like, okay, let's say they're backtracking, but they're backtracking because you guys complained about it and they're giving you what you want. Isn't that like the essence of what you want from a company? I mean, to me, a lot of the shit that people are bitching about is stuff that I'm just like, I wish Microsoft wouldn't backtrack on, but they did. And so they're now giving you what you asked for and you're still complaining about it. Because not because they didn't do it, not because they're now allowing you to do it now, but because they actually backtracked on it. It's like, at some point, you just gotta say, dog, you were never gonna be a Microsoft in this thing.
Crackdown and Dead Rising 2 are free on Xbox Live this month. You can go get Crackdown right now. I suggest everybody do it if you haven't played it. Really one of the more fun games I've ever played, especially considering, like, it's just an open sandbox game. But it gets addictive so fucking fast. The next thing
especially you know, trying to get those orbs.
Yes, next thing you know, you're just chasing down green orbs, trying to make your man a fucking super dude.
The one thing that sucks though is, like, I actually had to physically go into my Xbox hard drive and delete my saved game just so I can, like, have all the orbs and start a brand new game. But which I am okay with. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, damn, this game came out in like 2007. You know, they just didn't have a reset for everything.
The problem I'm actually having now is I'm starting to run out of space.
I have 21 gigs left out of 120 gig hard drive on this 360, so
I'm over here deleting games and shit like that. I'm trying to
trying to figure out, can you move games to like an external?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know if you can do that or not, but even if you delete something, I mean, it's tied to your gamer tag or your license.
What about the free games?
Even the free games.
Okay,
cool. Games, once you download them, they're tied to your Xbox
Live. And you can always,
you can delete them and re-download them at a later date.
Yeah, I knew you could do that for the other shit, but I didn't know if the free ones were that way. So if the free ones were that way, then I'm good. Then I can delete them.
And also, if you guys have movies and trailers and video game trailers and shit, you can always delete those too.
Yeah.
And I also delete my demo games that I don't play, or if I play it and I don't buy it. I started doing that.
I always forget to do that, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause those shits, like, especially the arcade ones are deceptively big because they basically give you the whole game. And then if you say, okay, I do want it, then it's just like pay 400 points or whatever. And all it does is unlock it.
It's the license for it.
Yeah. So a lot of times people think, oh, I just got like 5 arcade games. It's like, no, that's 15 gigs.
Because it basically gives you the whole game.
Yeah, so yeah, Crackdown, Dead Rising,
I really like Dead Rising. I like that series, and that is a really fun zombie killing game.
Yeah, Dead Rising
kind of overrated or underrated, like people compare it to like other zombie games like Resident Evil and everything else. But you know, if you can get through the fact that a lot of the events are timed, it can be a very, very fun game. It has a decent story.
Yeah, it's Dead Rising 2, by the way. And DR2 Prologue Case Zero, free to download next month. And of course, Defense Grid, The Awakening, Assassin's Creed 2, and Fable 3 have already been released. At some point, they plan to release Halo 3 also.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Microsoft filed a patent for a head mounted display device. You know, like,
what is this supposed to do? Like 3D glasses?
Yeah, like glasses, but people are just throwing that out there, like they think it might be connected to the Kinect or the Xbox One, possibly, or if nothing else, like a Google Glass, but with Microsoft instead. So people just pointed out, talking about it, but they had to have documents to go with it. And one of the figures was somebody playing a video game with the glasses on, and like it was showing like you can dance. You could do like sword fighting, and it's supposed to like take you inside the game. So, anyway,
that sounds kind of dope. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, I want the special ops headset, so you can, you know, like they do when you're doing like you see them in Call of Duty. You pull the glasses down, you go into night vision or some shit. That's what I want.
That'd be cool.
That would be awesome, man.
Magico Ultimate made some speakers, $600,000.
What do these speakers do?
A pair of speakers. It's the third version of the speakers. The first version cost $229,000, but you know, they've improved them since then.
Nobody bought them.
They share the same horns that the megaphone like pieces that sit in front of drivers, but the new speaker has redesigned drivers, crossover networks, amplifiers, form follows function, Blade Runner aesthetic. Won't appeal to buyers with the traditional chase because it's not like in a box, really. I mean, well, they took it out the box and like showed it to you. I just think it's crazy. I just saw that and I was like, that's crazy. 10-year-old kid saved their family from dying. Their grandmama passed out and the 10-year-old boy took the wheel. How did he know how to drive, everybody? He's on the 10. From playing Mario Kart.
That's even better, man.
If it would have been Grand Theft Auto, he would have stopped the car, beat his grandma, took the money back.
Yeah, smacked her and called her a whore.
Right. But yeah,
I hate you, you stupid whore.
Oh, did he release any turtle shells and have them blow up and stuff?
Right, man.
Well, the car was going 60. It was going 60 miles an hour when the grandma passed out.
God almighty.
Mm-hmm. He said, "My first thought." Was, is this a test or what? My heart was thumping. Is this a test? No, son, you almost died because grandma was passing out.
Ain't that the truth?
But they think it might have been a mild heart attack. He tried to wake her up, so then she didn't wake up. He took the wheel, steered the vehicle towards a ditch full of mud, and said he got his driver's skill playing Mario Kart. So,
this made me think that I think we talked about this on a previous Nerd Off. I really want Nintendo to stop making consoles and start licensing games out to other ones. Because I would love to play Mario Kart.
Me too,
on
man.
My Xbox. Man, I remember the first my cousin got it. Cause I never had a Nintendo. My cousin got it, and we used to play that goddamn game all the time. It'd be like four of us playing that game, and it would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fun game to play, and I'm not buying. Yeah, no.
I love some Super Smash Brothers, man. I'd love to be able to play Zelda.
I was saying, you know, my heart is Zelda. Like, I would literally, if we could do that, I would go back and download them all.
Me too.
I would bring them
Nintendo
all up.
Really got those franchises. Like, they knew how to make franchise characters. Yep. Which is something, I mean, Microsoft may have done it with Master Chief. Sony still hasn't done it, but they know how to make franchise character.
Yep. To me, they would actually make more money. Like in America, like in Japan, you could still sell the consoles because they're going to sell it regardless. But if you want to do something like that here in America, just quit selling consoles and sell like that stuff.
I'll be honest, if they just release like any one of the past, let's say they just release like one of the GameCube Mario Karts or even Mario Kart 64 as an Xbox Live arcade game as a special deal.
Oh, God.
Shit!
Oh
like, that would be the fastest selling Xbox Live Arcade game.
Ever.
Just say Mario 64 on Xbox Live Arcade. Even make it Mario Kart Double Dash since that can hold up to more players. Like, that would be the fastest selling game on fucking Xbox.
I don't even need the newer version. I don't need the latest version that you have on the Wii. Give me the arcade version. Give me the version from the 64 or something like that. Yes, license that shit out. They would make so much fun.
I'd do it for Super Mario Land.
Yeah.
Oh my, yes. Super Mario World,
yeah,
the ones,
Super Mario World,
the ones
yeah.
with the 3Ds. Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm wondering. Like, what the fuck is Nintendo doing? Like, they see these other companies out here like re-releasing some of their older products. Like, they are releasing a few things via Wii U, but they have to know. Like, I mean, they've already said, yeah, Wii U sales have been down drastically. They have to know. You know what? They're going to probably have to make a change somehow. And you know what? I don't know where they're going to have to. They need to make that change.
Well, they're probably printing money off of their mobile shit.
Yeah,
especially in Japan.
Their DSs do great numbers. Yeah. And I even think like the original Wii, like they released it at a low price.
Yeah.
But it was still profitable for them. Like they were selling systems that were still profitable. And I sometimes wonder because I think like back in the day before Sony made the PlayStation. The Sony PlayStation was actually a add-on for the Super Nintendo. It was supposed to be a CD add-on or a CD compatible thing for the Super Nintendo. Nintendo decided to go another way with the Nintendo 64. Sony said, "Well, we got all this technology. Let's just go ahead and release it." And that's what came. That's how they became the PlayStation.
Yep. I mean, just Sega did this, you know, at some point when they realized that the console shit wasn't for them. But I mean, and now look at them. They actually had a new version of Sonic like last year, so I don't know, man. Anyway, have y'all guys heard about this Ouya console? Is that how you pronounce it? Ouya, Ouya. It's like a startup console that they had like one of those Kickstarters for, and
I've heard of it.
Well, I guess people ordered them last week,
uh-huh.
And them shits was showing up with no controllers.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be like pretty cheap or whatever. They weren't able to sell a lot of games. 73% of the people that bought a console didn't even buy a game. So.
Yeah, it almost sounds like back in the day when like they were trying to sell Neo Geos and shit. And like, there was only maybe like one nigga on the block who had a Neo Geo and the SNK games. They were like, Neo Geos were expensive to sell. Those games were like $500 a piece and shit too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yo, so, I got that new, Samurai Showdown. I'm like, you're the only nigga who has the new Samurai Showdown.
Right. And there's only one controller. We had to take turns.
So they gave, $13.37 credit to all their fans, because they had late shipping and missing controllers, stuff like that. Their customer service is still brand new, so that's a problem.
Wow.
So they hooked everybody up, so at least they did that. You know, that's pretty dope. Activision is blaming Call of Duty Ghost pre-orders, like being down on the fact that new consoles are coming out.
It couldn't
possibly be Call of Duty fatigue.
Couldn't be the game. Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't be
y'all
that
come
last
out one every 6 months.
Yeah, couldn't be that the last two were kind of subpar.
Yeah,
possibly. Okay.
What did they say the numbers for are now?
Let's see what it says. Doesn't say exact number. It says our quantitative consumer research indicates that hesitation amongst past Call of Duty pre-orders is primarily due to not knowing which platform they will be playing on, which is natural at this time in the console transition. Other key engagement metrics, such as,
well, first of all, I'm not gonna try to buy. I'm not buying Call of Duty this fall. It's not gonna be on the Xbox One or the PS4. It's gonna be whatever system I currently have when you get a game like Call of Duty, you want to play with as many people as possible, and many people aren't going to be on the new gen system. So
it's gonna be a lonely fucking world,
right? And I'm not falling for Battlefield either. Yeah. I'm not falling. I've been trying to get into Battlefield. I did it last time. You know what? I might just completely skip out on this fall's first-person shooter wars,
and especially if it's coming out for all the consoles.
Yeah, I think I might just sit out on it this year and see. I can't get into either one of them now. It's just, it's not as fun anymore as like a game like Borderlands, where I have more to do now that I can play by myself or I can play with a group, and I can get that out of it. Even something like Far Cry 3 was a little bit different. And the challenges I could do, the open world feel of it, you know, it's just, there are better first person shooters.
Batman Arkham Origins is getting multiplayer.
Yes.
This is like, first of all, I don't care. Like, honestly, I love the single player shit and, Arkham City. I can still just fly even after beating everything. Mm-hmm. I sometimes just hop on that shit as Batman and go around waiting for somebody to be like, I wish Bruce Wayne was here right now. Right. And I fucked him up. But I was cool. You know, I didn't care one way or the other until, I was reading Aaron Rand Freeman's, Facebook page. And, he was talking about this and he was like, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but, I might not even get the game out of this multiplayer. It scares me. And I was like, what's the problem, Aaron? Like, you know, and nothing else is going to be probably one of the best single player campaigns like it always is. And he basically said, because in multiplayer, people going to be playing as Batman. They're going to be racist. And I was like, you know, it doesn't bother me, but I could actually understand that to an extent of just being like, yo, Batman wouldn't be doing this shit. Like, y'all can't be in control of Batman and then being like, I'm gonna fuck you up, you nigger, faggot, fag nigger. Like, aww. No. Like, you don't get to do
that. I think people need to remember, and I think it was Kevin taught me this trick that was pretty, like, when you're playing multiplayer against things like that, just get in a party by yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
never have to hear the other groups. Like, party chat is the greatest invention ever. Like, you can be in a party by yourself. You don't have to hear anybody. Like, to me, the video for the multiplayer looked awesome. But like you said, even if I don't play the multiplayer, and I don't buy the, because some people are complaining that, well, when you add multiplayer to a game, they sometimes take away from the single-player campaign. And I'm like, well, they didn't do that for Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
true.
And if anything, that multiplayer added, that's one of the few games where the multiplayer actually added more value to the single player game.
And yeah, I've heard nothing but great things about multiplayer, and I've never played it. And you know what's funny though, Kev? I'm just like you. Doesn't bother me. Still think it's one of the greatest games of all time. Yeah, and I feel
honestly,
like,
Rod, like what you said about Aegis Wing or whatever. That's what I used to do with like Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I would just sit down there and listen to podcasts while playing that. Like, I would never have on a headset. I've never actually like talked with random people I've played with on that multiplayer. Like,
yep, me too.
Like, you, it's a simple horde mode where you want to survive all 11 waves, that way you can get as much experience and money as you can, that way you can unlock more shit in multiplayer. Everyone knows what the goal is. Everyone fucking works together. I've been in games, like, only level I haven't beat it was the gold, but I've been in these games with people I've never met, and we accomplished this shit, and we just, and like, I've played the same game over and over and never once said a word to these guys.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's a horde mode, so it's like, yeah, it's like Gears of War but with horde mode in the Mass Effect universe. So that's, first of all, that's great. The other thing that Kev forgot to mention about this is, you can, after a certain amount of experience with your character in multiplayer, you can then bring them into the single player as a member of your of the assets you can use for war to boost your
to boost your overall thing before you get to the last mission.
Right.
And another thing you also left out was that they have almost every single like character class or maybe major enemy you might have seen during a single player game. Like you want to play as one of the like Cerebus dudes with the electric whips, they have that as an unlockable class. If you want to play as one of the Vorcha, they have that as a class. Like they have almost every alien race, or probably every race that's been fighting in the series, as a class that you can play as, and all with different powers and different abilities. And so it's really unique, especially when you see how like you got to build teams around the enemies that you're facing and everything else. It's a lot of fun, but it's also enough there where it's like, you know, you really got to think about what you're doing before you just jump into a match.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and that's why I think the complaints about having the multiplayer for a game like Arkham City or Arkham Origins, where you already pretty much know the single player is going to be off the charts. It's like, now they're adding multiplayer to me. To me, a lot of people see that as downing the game, but to me, that's like just adding a cherry on top of the ice cream, man. It's like, all right, like you said, if it works, great. If it doesn't work, doesn't matter. I've never played the multiplayer for any of the Assassin's Creed games.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's good when it works, like you said, but it's not gonna ruin everything for me. Like I said, to me, I've been saying for a while, the only thing that concerns me about the Batman joint is a new studio's doing it.
Yep, that's it. The only thing with me.
Like it's a gigabit, like, I'm hoping that it turns out great. But if the shit turns around and it's like, man, this just doesn't have any soul, feels like they're going through the motions, you know, like what happened with Crash Bandicoot and some, like.
Oh man, don't get me started on that bullshit.
Spyro the Dragon, like some of my favorite franchises got.
When they change hands?
Yeah, they just change hands and then it was like, wow, you really don't care. I hope it's not like that. I hope it's more like what Studios did with Halo. I hope like that.
What gives me confidence in Arkham Origins is that even though you haven't seen it, I don't think we've seen any gameplay footage other than the multiplayer yet.
Oh, I saw the E3 demo of Detective Tech.
Okay, cool. I need to look at that then.
Yeah.
Well, from everything I've seen from this, it has the same feel.
Yeah.
Like in some of those other games when they switch studios, you can look at the trailer and they'd be like, this is the game I remember. Everything I've seen so far is the same. Even like the opening trailers when they did the original trailer for it, I was like, oh, this is the same studio, right? Like if you didn't tell me it was a different studio, I would never know.
All you gotta do is just don't Fox Studios it up. That's all you gotta do. Don't Fox it up. Just get in there, copy exactly what the last team did and add different villains and we gotta, you know. Plus, I don't think anything got cop Arkham City, so no offense, but
you're right. I don't know how they.
Yeah, that's impossible.
Yeah, I feel like that's gonna be the one thing that people are that's gonna hurt this game is people are gonna try to compare it to Arkham City. It's like I don't know if you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, nigga, that the second that Ra's al Ghul pops up, I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
I gotta play that game again now. Yeah. I gotta go through that game from beginning to end.
I've beaten that game like three times. Like,
yeah, me too.
It's so good. And every time it comes up, because I'm so familiar with Batman and his folklore, I just like get a nerd boner at every moment where I'm like, this is right when Talia would show up. And she is showing up, you know, all that shit, man. Like just so dope. So, all right, man. Well, it's been another episode of Nerd Off. You know, Kev and Chris is on, man. I really enjoy having these guys on.
Shit, I ain't even realized always. We've been talking to, dude.
I really, you know, as always, man, I enjoy doing the show, man. And it's real cool to be able to do this with friends and have people like it. Hopefully people that got a free taste of it, a free trial. Hopefully they liked it and they see that, you know, we actually did find an hour and something of shit to talk about that was nerd shit in the off season of nerddom. So you know, shout out to everybody that listens for free and stuff. The rest be up on the premium feed for the people that listen to it later on the podcast. Until next week. Well, actually we're off next week, I believe, because we're taking vacation, but until maybe 2 weeks from now, we're out. So until then, peace.